11:4. God did from all eternity decree to justify all the elect, and Christ did, in the fullness of time, die for their sins and rise again for their justification. Nevertheless, they are not justified until the Holy Spirit doth in due time actually apply Christ unto them. So, when are the elect justified? That's what this paragraph is addressing. When the elect are justified. Are the elect eternally justified? Are they righteous in the sight of God from eternity, or are they justified at a particular point in time? Is justification in time merely a realization of what was true all along, or is it the point at which God declares the sinner righteous? So first of all, God eternally decreed to justify the elect. God eternally decreed to justify the elect. Of this there should be no doubt. Galatians 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God had decreed from eternity, and the scripture indicates as much, that God would justify the heathen through faith. And it's noticeable that even at this point, there is a hint of what is coming, that God would justify the heathen. He had purposed to justify the heathen, but they were not already justified. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So here there is an indication that the reason that they are sprinkled with the blood of Christ in time is because they were elect according to the foreknowledge, or the foreloving, the setting of love upon of God the Father, and that this issued in sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, that's to the gospel, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 19 of that chapter, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. There again, God has obviously determined to justify the elect in due time. It isn't some last-minute plan or some plan that God adopted at some later stage. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So again, we are taught that the justification of the elect through the merits of Christ was no plan that was adopted at some particular time, but that rather it is God's eternal purpose of predestination that means the elect will certainly be justified. So God has certainly eternally decreed exactly and who will be justified. But our paragraph, chapter 11, verse 4, paragraph 4 goes on. God did from all eternity decree to justify the elect, and Christ did in the fullness of time die for their sins and rise again for their justification. So Christ died to secure the basis of justification of the elect. Christ, in the fullness of time, came to fulfill all righteousness and to bear the guilt of sin. Galatians 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So at an appointed time, so Christ as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world must be understood as God's decree and purpose, but he actually came in the fullness of time. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 2 verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Christ came at a particular time, and having come, he is testified of in due time. Romans 4 verse 25. Romans 4 verse 25. Who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. For our justification, that is, providing the legal basis for our justification, in order to our justification. Then thirdly, justified only in time when renewed by the Holy Spirit. Justified only in time when renewed by the Holy Spirit. The confession of faith goes on to say, nevertheless, they are not justified until the Holy Spirit doth in due time actually apply Christ unto them. This is telling us that there is a distinction that must be maintained between God's decree and the execution of that decree, between God's purpose and the fulfilling of God's purpose. The justification of the elect was eternally planned by God, but it does not take place until Christ is applied through by the Spirit and through the Gospel. Colossians 1, verse 22. Colossians 1, verse 22, 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now hath he reconciled. That is the removal of divine wrath. Justification, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's telling us what the reconciliation is, and that reconciliation takes place in time. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Galatians 2 verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, there it's quite clear that justification and believing go together. There's justification when there is believing. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 to 7. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 to 7. But we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Again, regeneration in verse 5 and justification in verse 7 go together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's important to notice that he doesn't say simply, by nature we were like the children of wrath. That is, we had the same nature as the children of wrath. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That is, until united to Christ, we actually were children of wrath. And what we were by nature actually made us liable to the wrath of God. So it's not saying we had natures like the children of wrath. It's saying we were the children of wrath. And that is very important. The idea, the error, the erroneous idea of the elect always having been justified has serious repercussions. It makes the warnings to flee from the wrath to come as entirely misplaced, since the elect were never under wrath. It means that when Calvin, at his conversion, dreaded the wrath of God, he believed a lie, because as one of God's elect, he was not under the wrath of God. Or John Bunyan, likewise, when he was afraid of divine judgment, it was based on a falsehood, because as one of God's elect, there was no wrath. So you can see that this has repercussions. And conversion on this view is reduced to merely a realization, rather than coming to Christ to deliver from wrath, it's a mere realization of what has been true all along. That is not the biblical view of conversion. We are to come to Christ in order to be delivered from the wrath of God. And so the whole nature of what the gospel is altered if this view is adopted. This error has had its followers among those who profess the Reformed faith, and in more recent times by Herman Hoeksema and many of his followers in the Protestant Reformed Churches of America, the denomination known as the Protestant Reformed Churches of America. But this doctrine is rejected by our confession of faith. You cannot subscribe to the confession of faith and believe in eternal justification. Likewise, the Belgic Confession in Article 23 speaks of relying and resting upon the obedience of Christ crucified alone, which becomes ours when we believe in him. So the scriptures are clear and the Reformed confessions are clear. God's decree to justify the elect is eternal. The justification of the elect takes place in time. And we are to warn all to flee from the wrath to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the elect of God will certainly be caused to heed the warning in accordance with the decree of God.